It's good to see everybody out this morning. Always wonderful to be able to come together to worship, to study. It's always wonderful to see some extra people, extra faces in the pews. And it's always just great to be able to come together. Hope that everybody is doing well as we've had this opportunity. And everybody's been edified and uplifted as we've gone throughout our worship so far. This morning, I would like to go forth and talk about giving reverence to God. Our respect that we're supposed to have for our God. And looking into the definition in Hebrew and Greek, it gives into the term of fear of God, to the respect of God. And sometimes we use those intertwined with one another in same points. And sometimes we know that fear in itself can mean something different than respect, and I believe both are in need as we speak about our God and how we do fear Him and how we do respect Him and how we go about in serving our God. So there's a few points I'd like to look at this morning in reverence of our God. And so I hope that you open up your Bibles and follow along as we go through the lesson this morning. The first thing I want to bring out, and I believe it's just brought out time and again throughout the scriptures, is that we have to have reverence for His name. We have to respect His name and truly respect who He is, and His name alone should deserves that respect. And so Psalm 29 and verse 2 is where we're going to start off this morning. Psalm 29 and in verse 2, it says, "Ascribe to the Lord the glory, do His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness." And so here it says, that is, do His name. Just His name alone is due for glory, that we should worship. And when we hear His name, when we hear God, when we hear Lord, when we hear Yahweh, or whatever term it is that you like to use or you hear other people using in reference to our God, it should be into point of respect. It should be into point of worship or giving Him glory for who He is. You look in Exodus 20 and in verse 7, we go back to the Ten Commandments here. Exodus chapter 20 and in verse 7, as you would read, as He's given the Ten Commandments, one of the things that He brings out in our commands that He's given to Moses here that is brought into the New Testament also, that we respect our God. Here in verse 7 it says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes His name in vain." Again, similar verses to that throughout the scriptures, throughout the Word of God. Every time I talk about this point right here and go to the point that do not take the name of God in vain, I just go back, I forget who I had the conversation with. But I want to say it was when I worked at Walmart and talking with someone else who was working there. And, you know, going through and talking about how people are good, moral people and not necessarily Christians and followers of God. And they brought up the point, well, I don't swear, you know. And I go, well, you say God all the time. You take the Lord's name in vain all the time. You continuously, oh my God. Or we just continuously do those things. And in their mind says, well, that's the worst I do. And in my mindset, any other curse word that we have today is not as bad as taking the Lord's name in vain. Because every other curse word is things that we as men have come up to say, well, that's a bad thing because of the way people use it, the reference to it, and how it's being used. Therefore, it's become a curse word. It's become a bad word, a word that we don't want to come out of our children's mouth, things that we don't want to say ourselves. But when it comes to God, it is our God. He is our Creator. He is the Almighty. What worse could there be than taking the Lord's name in vain when it comes to speaking wrongly? Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 12. Leviticus chapter 19 and in verse 12, if you will. Here it reads, it says, "You shall not swear by my name falsely, or so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord." Again, you can't go forth, "I swear to God." Going forth, and so many get caught up in doing that, but then you do realize what you are doing. You're saying, if I lie, between me and God. And again, that's why we go in the news, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Let your yes be yes and no be no. Don't have to go forth and swear by God. Because if we do it falsely, we set ourselves up for judgment. We take the Lord's name in vain. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And looking at verses 9 and 11. Here it says, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus has been given the name above all names. We shall not take his name in vain. We should give respect to our Lord, to his name. We should give respect. We should reverence his name. That we should fear. We should fear. Do we truly sit there and think about that in a mindset of fearing or reverence to his name? And when we bring that name into a conversation, we bring his name, and what that means is we're talking about our Creator and our Savior, our Judge, and that we truly talk about him or bringing him into any conversation. You know, my mind, for some reason, just now, not in preparing this lesson, but just now, goes into the Lion King when the hyenas were sitting there talking, and they bring up Mufasa, right? And when they first say, you know, it's just how they get the chills, and it's just, why? Because they feared that name. The name alone had meaning. The name alone meant something. And so when we go forth and we go in the name of Christ, we are Christians. When we go on behalf of him, because we are citizens of heaven, we are bringing our Lord with us. Give reverence to his name. There's meaning behind it. Because as we go forth and we've talked about the different points there, his power. Respect his power. Have reverence. Have fear for the power of God. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 6. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 6. It says here, your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. I mean, just up to this point in Exodus, I mean, you go all the way through the book of Genesis and see all that he has done in creating the world and creating all things and creating mankind. And then he destroyed the world by a flood. And then he blesses mankind, allows us to reproduce upon this earth again and lets it grow. He's there for Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And then we can talk about Moses here and the children of Israel and bringing them out of the land of Egypt, all the plagues that have come upon him. And then you come to a verse that says, talks about his right hand of power. They saw it. They understood the power of God. That is something to respect, something to fear, something to honor. When we think about our God and the respect we should have for him, in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and in verse 11. Here it says, yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Again, as this is David here going forth in his prayer and his glorifying God and giving honor to him, the power that God has. We know David knew the power of God because he went up against Goliath, and when he faced him, he didn't come up there and saying, this is what I can do, this is how good I am. But he says, today the Lord will deliver you into my hands. Today I will take your head because God is going to give it to me. He understood the power that God had. That God has. And how we should respect that. How it should cause us to have reverence for him and to fear and respect him. In Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19. Ephesians 1 and verse 19 here says, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. That the power of God that he has to be able to forgive our sins because he sacrificed his son. Because he had the power to raise his son from the dead. To have victory over death. Again, listen to the power. And study the scriptures. Think back and to all the good stories we talked about in the kids' classes that as we grew up on. That is the power of God. It should cause us to respect him, knowing that there is no greater power out there. There is no greater power. But as we talk about all the things that he can do with his power, we know the greatest is love. Because of his love, and as we would study 1 John and go forth and talk about how we do have a fear, and you go to Ecclesiastes, you know, the sum of it all is to fear God and keep his commandments. But then when Jesus comes in John 14, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then you come to 1 John, he says, love cast out fear. Because we no longer fear his punishment. We no longer fear eternal destruction and torment because he loves us so much and we've accepted his love and we respect him for his love because he has forgiven us. And so we love him and we respect him because of his love, because he was willing to send his son down to die for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And whoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And as we look at Romans 5 and verse 8, that God demonstrates his love how? By sending his Son down. By allowing his Son to die for us. Christ died for us. And this is out of God's love. Our last two lessons in the young adult class have been focused on that loving one another. How many verses throughout the scriptures talk about love and the love that God has for you, the love that God has for me. And again, the point that he brings out here in John 15, that there is no greater love. John 15 and verse 13. And it says here, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friend. No greater love. That means God demonstrated the greatest act of love there can be. And none of us are ever going to outdo our God in love, in the sacrifice that he has made for us. We show him the respect and reverence because of the love that he has. And therefore, as we consider his power, we consider his love, and we take his name and we give it reverence, that means we are going to keep his commandments. We are going to respect what he says. We're going to respect the path that he has made for us. We sit back and we think, well, God is our creator. God is going to be the one that delivers us. He is the one that sent his son down to die for us. And therefore, I'm going to trust him. I'm going to respect his commandments. John 14 and verse 15, again, if you love me, keep my commandments. And verse 23 says, and Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So we are going to keep his commandments. We are going to do as he has told us. We're going to respect what he has to say. It's not one of those situations, again, it's something that one of the conversations we kind of had in the young adult class a couple studies ago, to the point of listening to others. And sometimes we get caught up in saying, well, I'll hear them out on their opinion on how I should do this, but I'm likely to just go my way. I'll just do how I want to do.
That's not how it works with God. When God says this is the way we are to do it, we are to do it that way. In James chapter 1 and verse 25. James 1 and verse 25. As it reads here, "But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." One who hears the word of God and takes it and keeps it and does what it says. We respect his commandments. Matthew 6 and verse 33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." When it says his righteousness, his commandments are what lead us to righteousness. His word is what helps us to become holy. There's no way we can know what righteousness and what holiness and true love is without going through God's word. For it has all things that we need in order to be complete as a worker of God. So we are going to respect his commandments. We are going to keep his commandments. We're also going to respect his church, honor his church, his kingdom. As we just read, Matthew 6 and verse 33, he says, "Seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness." Not just his commandments on our own, but as we come together as a collective work, as his kingdom, as the Lord's church, as the Lord's body, we respect his church that he built. Upon that confession that Peter had in Matthew chapter 16, Matthew 16 and in verse 18. As it reads, it says, "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now we respect our Lord and Savior enough to say, all right, he says he built his church, his church. And so therefore, as we respect his church and we respect his name, we have to come to understanding that there is only one true path in which our Lord has given us. 1 Corinthians 12, and in verse 12 here reads and says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all members of the body through many are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we're all made to drink of one spirit." Only one spirit was sent and gave us the word of God. It's all the same message. And Jesus died so that we can all be saved. But when we are saved and we read in Acts chapter 2, the last verse there, God adds the saved to the church. It is one church. Not one congregation, but one universal church of the same faith. Body is the church, and on no other name can the church be built upon. We can't go forth and follow other people's paths that they have paved. We must follow the path of our Lord and his apostles. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11 says, "For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." There is no other kingdom in which we can enter into that is going to get us to that we need to respect and have reverence for, to fear and be willing to submit ourselves to. We have to have reverence for the Lord and his church. Because when we talk about a body, Jesus is the head of the body. There's only one body that goes with one head. The one in which belongs to our Lord. My final point for this morning is that we have to have reverence for his judgment. Respect that as we go down that line and we say we respect his name, we understand he has power and that he does love us, and so therefore he's not harsh with us in the power that he has, but he is just and he is forgiving and he is merciful and he is kind. And so therefore we are willing to keep his commandments because he is such a great God, because he's such an awesome and loving God, and we respect and love the church that he has blessed us with. It means that we are going to respect his commandments, and to the point that we know that's what we're going to be judged by in the day that he has set aside. Proverbs 21 and verse 2. Proverbs 21 and in verse 2. says here, it says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. Again, why we can trust the judgment of our Lord, because He looks at the heart, something that no one else can do. We get caught up in saying, well, I know that person's thoughts, but we really don't. We don't know if they've truly repented, or we don't know if their true heart is in the right place when they're doing good deeds. But God does. God knows the purpose behind your heart. That's why when we turn to Revelation, we read the first part, it's one of the letters, and he starts off, I know your works, how you cast out people who do not teach the truth, and you tested them, and you do all these good things. And he says, I have this one thing against you. You left your first love. Because God knows their hearts. He knows the purpose. He knows the reasoning behind what they are doing. And so we can respect and have reverence for His judgment, fear the judgment that is coming. In John chapter 5 and verse 30. John chapter 5 and verse 30. As it reads, I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. That as Jesus bringing out, He's going to be the one that judges us. But He says it's going to be a just judgment, not just because the simple, He's not going to go about His own thoughts and opinions about it. He's not going to sit there and say, well, you know, when I was on earth and I went through this, you know, this is what, and so I can relate to this a little more than I can relate to that over there. He says, no, I won't take that in. I'm going to judge according to the will of the Father. It's going to be a straight, straight judgment. And it will be just. We need to understand that it will come. And it will come to us all. For it is appointed for man to die once, and after death, judgment. So we need to respect our God. We need to have fear for our God. We need to have reverence for our God. Making sure that we continuously live faithfully each and every day that He blesses us upon this earth. I wish not to leave without extending the Lord's invitation this morning. If there's any here today that has yet to obey the gospel, but they know who their God is, they know who their Savior is, you know what it is you need to do in order to be saved, and you wish to give your life over to God, you wish to allow Him to wash your sins away, then I encourage you to do that. If you know who He is and you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then make that confession. Come forward and be baptized as you repent from your sins. If you're here, you've obeyed the gospel, you need the prayers of the congregation to live faithfully, to help you, to study with you. If there's anything we can do for you, we let it be known as we stand and sing.